When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Welcome to the Luke and the Pete Show. It is Monday, the 29th of March. A dog has just decided to start barking as I started this show. Welcome, friends, Romans, countrymen. How are you doing, Luke Moore? You all right?
It's my mum's birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday, Mummy Moore.
Yeah. Called her this morning, didn't I?
Oh, what did you say? Happy birthday.
Sang a song down the phone to her at an obnoxious volume. She called me a stupid idiot. And I said, look out for a delivery today. Don't know what time it's coming. So she said, thanks very much for that. So my birthday present is on one of the nicest days of the spring so far. I've got to stay in all day. I said, yes. Have a great day.
Leave it in the bin. Leave it behind the bin like a normal person. That's what I would say.
No, it's fine. She's all right. She's looking forward to the world slowly opening up again so she can see her family. I think we might go and visit her in the garden next weekend because that's allowed now.
That's allowed now. We're allowed 6 humanoid android mixes in a garden.
Yeah.
You're allowed to fight to the death and you are allowed to eat one grandmother. I think
that's it.
I think that's the thing. Yeah.
I think if you'd said to me 5 years ago, Pete, do you think a time would ever come where you would be actively looking forward to driving 2 hours to sit in a garden and chat to your parents? I would not have understood the question, to be frank.
It's different, isn't it? It's interesting, isn't it? I am jonesing to drive or train it up to go and see my parents. I just need to, I'll just wait until they've had their jab and then try and get up there. But it's, their second jab anyway. But it's interesting, isn't it? Like, I've still not seen my niece, and I really need to see her and meet her for the first time. There's so much of her life I've missed so far, like 6 to 9 months of it.
I was about to say, she's 18 now, isn't she?
I know, right? So I'm looking forward to that. I went to the garden centre to buy some toys for them at the weekend. Garden centres, like, it's like, this isn't bad stand-up, because it's not even funny. But, like, you know, like, in garden centres, you see, like, little packets of seeds for, like, carrots and potatoes and stuff like that, and chrysanthemums. Marrows, very popular thing to grow, or certainly that's what big garden centre would have you believe. Have you ever had a marrow?
No, this is the thing.
You see, it's a very British kind of thing to go to like a country fair and see the man who's grown the biggest marrow.
Yeah.
But it's just this big, stupid, tasteless watermelon that comes from the fucking ground. And he goes, look how big this marrow is. He goes, what are you going to fucking do with it? You've just soaked up all of the moisture, not allowing any other things to grow in the area of this marrow. And no one ever eats a fucking marrow. What's a marrow?
You're only allowed one per postcode. I think you're right. I think it's sport growing and nothing more. As you probably won't remember, but as I regaled listeners with a while back, I grew that massive pumpkin, didn't I?
That's right, yeah.
And it did dominate the entire garden. I mean, it didn't even grow in the bed. It grew about 3 feet outside the bed. And I took it to my niece back when you could still visit your family, and after the first lockdown, she didn't really want it. It was a weird colour and a stupid shape. She wanted a proper orange pumpkin for Halloween. Anyway, the point is that to get to the nub of your point, you're absolutely spot on. I have never once, ever, without exception in my entire life, either gone to anyone's house for dinner or gone to any restaurant or cafe for dinner where marrow has been on the menu. Unless it's bone marrow, which is a different thing. Can't grow that in your garden.
Well, you could, but you'd be... I mean, it's terribly nutritious, I imagine. That's what I was thinking, actually. I talked about, you know, like how we're big, like basically energy cells of the human body. And when we die, like the thing that people say, the scientists say, or people, forensic scientists who have kind of found corpses out in nature that have just died naturally or unnaturally, rather, sometimes. There's always like loads of flowers going around it because the body is incredibly nutritious. And when it starts to break down, it releases nutrients and energy and stuff like that. Yeah. And I was saying this kind of like obsession with growing a big old bum, which is not something that we've had for like
generations. I didn't think you were going to go that way, right? What do you mean by that?
Well, like, you know, everyone's obsessed with having a big bum, right? I'm just thinking we are.
I don't know what this
everyone's
is.
I'm obsessed with just having a bum. I don't have a bum.
You've got a little boy's bum.
You've been on Instagram. People have got big old bums now and they're obsessed with showing them off. They're going, look at my big bum. So, right, I'm thinking that when everyone dies with their big bums, there's going to be like a massive release of energy that has never been seen before. We've been soaking up all these nutrients and making big bums. And when we die, there's going to be like this massive, we're going to be like batteries. All of the energy that's been lost over the thousands of years where we've had normal sized bums. Now we've got big bums. When we die, like the planet will be saved because of the big bummed people.
Yeah. It's difficult to keep up sometimes with the stuff you get into. That's the problem. I never know where you're going to go with it. And I think people listening should
with what's
at least
going on.
Try and remember that there's nothing planned about this. I've not been told at any point in advance that you're going to go on a rant about people with big bums and what the contribution they're going to make.
I was thinking like planting two big, lovely green marrows in the ground and sort of thinking, why do we eat marrows and why don't we eat buttermilk squash? And I was thinking, I was thinking about that earlier on in the week. Like, what's going to happen to all of... Like, I'm just saying the bums are powerful and they will save us. They will grow trees.
No, I like that you've identified a trope in content creation online and thought, okay, that seems to be happening a lot. I wonder what's going to happen with it after death. That's the first angle you've gone for. But the
death of the world.
Do you remember? I was either talking to you about it just generally, or we talked about it on this show ages ago. It was one of the two. They kind of blurs into one. But there was some kind of experimental garden, I'm going to say, in Scandinavia, where people were volunteering to be able to have their bodies, after they died, left out in the wild. So certain scientists...
Yeah, there's one in Texas. For,
oh,
like,
right,
to,
okay. I
to kind
it was
of, to kind of
something.
Work out, like, it's for forensic people to figure out. So when they encounter bodies that have been hidden in a trunk or just sat around in a forest, they can sort of date them and find a little
accurate.
Bit more about them. So it's So it's a very, very useful tool for policemen and stuff like that. So
One of the things that's interesting is that, I mean, so when you talk about like human beings being like batteries or whatever. I mean, we are really. I mean, because I think what you're alluding to is the idea that, you know, energy can never be created or destroyed, right? There's a finite amount of energy in the universe and it's just transferred between different things. So, if you punch a person in the face, you'll transfer your energy to their face. Like, you're not creating energy with the punch. I don't know why that was the first example I thought of, but it was anyway.
No, I know. But, you've woken up in a very different mood than I have. I'm talking about beautiful bums saving the world.
Yeah,
and
after
you
death.
Are wanting to punch people in the face.
You're talking about death, and I'm talking about punching. It's the same as usual.
Yeah.
But
okay, fair.
The idea that one of the things that's kind of interesting to me is the idea that some people will say that, well, after they die, they want so-and-so to happen to them, right? So I want, when I die, for this to happen to me, so make sure you do it. But that, to my experience, never really happens because people just think, oh, well, someone's died and they're upset about it and they want to get through all the funeral stuff. And I wonder how kind of diligent people are generally at fulfilling the wishes of someone who's died.
Yeah, that's a very good point. But I mean, I think anyone who's doing like, I don't necessarily understand funerals necessarily, because I think it's just a bit strange. But I'd rather just kind of slink off, to be honest. I'd rather just kind of, if I knew I was going, just crawling into the sewer and then just get
Why
washed
the sewer?
Away.
That's the dirtiest of all the places. So you want to be covered in your
away,
own. You want to be covered in other people's shit to die alone.
Yeah, I want to be fired into a fatberg at speed with a torrent of rainwater. That's what I want. That's how I want to go.
I think it's probably a really good indicator of people's personality to ask them what they'd like to happen after they die. Because yours is
state funeral. You'd say state funeral.
Yeah, yours is obviously going to be completely depressing and nihilistic, whereas mine is like I'd like to be put in one of those Viking longboats and have someone fire a flaming arrow into my boat, and so I sail out into sea on fire because I'm vainglorious, basically.
Why don't we just fill an old Ford Cortina up with petrol and just drive right into a storm drain and just kill two birds with one stone? You'll be on fire. I'll be heading for a fatberg. Lovely old job. Thelma and Louise part two.
You're talking to a fatberg now. If someone said to you, you can sign this form, and what they'll do after you die is because they've decided that your brain is fine, although this is a bit of a stretch with you, but your brain is fine, so it may be in 50 years' time they might be able to reanimate you. Would you volunteer for that?
Would I be conscious though, or would it, like, because you could reanimate anyone? You could put, you know, those like kind of theme restaurants that have those bears that dance and play the guitar and stuff, play like a disco number while the kids eat their food. Have you seen those before in America mainly?
Well, not real bears though.
No, but they're like animatronic.
I'm not talking about like you being involved in some kind of Weekend at Bernie's type thing. It's not really a massive philosophical question, is it? Someone takes your dead corpse and degrades it by making you do a puppet show. I'm not talking about that, because obviously you're not going to sign up to that, are you? But I mean, if you could somehow be reanimated at the level of the brain.
I would. Once I'm dead, do with me what you want. Do with me. Give me to a cannibal. Let him chow down on an underwhelming bit of meat. Lovely.
Yeah, it might be a bit sinewy.
Get involved. It would be... Nah, they'd be mainly fat, to be honest.
I think I would put you in a chair and do an episode of a podcast with you and complain about your jingles so you couldn't answer back.
Yeah, just sort of go, oh, you agree that you don't like these sort of people and try and get me cancelled just while I have my silence.
Cancelled after death. Chair.
Just cancelled after death. Oh, yeah, your silence speaks volumes, Donaldson. You don't like the Chinese, do you?
Pete, I think it would be a dereliction of duty to our listeners. Which, to be fair, this show is partly all about. But on this occasion, I think we should avoid that. It would be a dereliction of duty to not talk about that massive cargo ship.
Oh, it is. I don't know how interested your dad has been in the whole affair.
Oh, mate.
But it really has been. Everyone out there who's got a dad, no matter where they are in the world, will have heard their dad's take on how they should dislodge the fucking cargo ship. It's like fix it. It's like men round a barbecue. It's like men going, well, I'd probably use some high powered jets to I'd probably get rid of some of the cargo on the ship. And it's just so compulsive for men of a certain age. This is what I would do.
Oh, mate. And I think one of the things I wanted to bring to the table is that I text my mate who lives in Geneva and is a shipbroker. And I kind of unthinkingly text him saying, not one of your ships, is it, lol? And he just replied saying, I'm a bit busy at the moment, mate. Because obviously the world's trade has been backed up and he's got a proper job. So it is fascinating to the dads of the world. Do you think there's anyone out there listening who hasn't seen this story? It's been quite a transcendent story, right? Everyone will know what it is, right?
It's kind of affected. I mean, it's hard to see. It's funny because the ship is so large and the body of water is going down. It looks like a puddle. And it's like, if that stops, if that little stretch of water stops, right, we're fucked. And you've put a ship that's way too big for the canal, and it's too big, and if that stops, the whole fucking world, it'll just kind of like gets fucked up.
Am I the only person here who was expecting the Suez Canal to be a lot more impressive than that? Because you hear about it a lot, don't you? It gets talked about a lot. I mean, it's got its own crisis. It's apparently revolutionised world trade. It's a big deal. I think it should look better than that. To me,
it looks like
when the tide goes out, a regional British beach.
Oh, it looked like, I remember. I mean, I think the first time I heard about it was Disraeli had a lot of trouble with it back in the day. The Egyptian shares getting sold and stuff, and he was in all kinds of bother. And I was like, I've not really paid that much attention.
It wasn't, by the way, it wasn't Disraeli, was it? I thought it was Anthony Eden.
No, Disraeli had the Suez Canal crisis, wasn't it?
No, that was Anthony Eden, mate. Disraeli died in the end of the 19th century.
Here we go. Hang on.
The Suez crisis was like 1956. It was like 70 years after he died.
Hang on. Disraeli, foreign policy. Where is she? Second government. Where is it? Suez Canal. He had trouble with the Suez Canal.
Okay.
I swear it.
But we can agree the Suez crisis was in the 50s. Let's agree on that.
Yeah, that wasn't the Suez crisis.
Okay,
yeah,
fine.
It's just always in crisis, basically. Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
I mean, it's partly to do with Israeli problems, not Disraeli problems, unless I've grossly misread the situation. But anyway, carry on.
Disraeli purchased 44% of the canal's total. Didn't give Britain ownership, but it did give a strong voice and protection against adverse policies. And it was the Rothschilds that did it. Bloody Rothschilds getting involved. I can't remember any of it, but I remember it was causing Disraeli a lot of trouble at home in his premiership. And then you see it now. I've not really sort of paid that much attention to it. And it's like, it just looks very underwhelming. It doesn't look like it's got, like, fortified banks. No. It's just a big, soggy river.
Because when I first saw the ship and I saw the canal, I was like, well, listen, I've not done any work or got any experience in this area, but I could have told you that was going to be a problem. This ship is 220,000 tonnes, right? The canal looked like it's about 10 feet wide.
So, hang on, we are straying into dad territory here.
We are dads. That's the thing, people are just dads without kids, aren't we? You've got access to two dogs. I've got access to two cats. We are essentially dads in all but name.
I bought like a really amazing little kind of sort of China figurine, porcelain figurine of a Border Terrier that was kind of roughly half the size of Lola, the smallest dog I have access to. Mm. And so I've just been taking loads of pictures of this little figurine with the dog. With captions, "Don't talk to me or my son ever again." And I realise I've turned into one of those people, those crazy dog people who buy figurines of dogs. I've got salt and pepper shakers that are Border Terriers as well. Awful.
I like the idea that the captain of a back big cargo ship, when asked for a statement, just said, "This is the only canal I've got access to."
Where do you want me to go?
Where do you want me to
fucking go? Hey?
All right, let's have a quick break, Peter. When we come back, we'll do some emails. And apparently, there's some lookalikes on our Instagram that we've got to go through as well, according to producer Nat. So we better do that, but we'll do them the other side of the break.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, I'm Clive Anderson, and My Seven Wonders is my podcast where I sit down with some fascinating guests and ask them one simple question. If you could pick your own seven wonders of the world, what would they be? The guests' choices lead us to some interesting tales, whether it's Omar Jalili being stopped by New York Customs.
They brought me in for the interview. They said, so what are you doing there? I'm doing a show with Whoopi Goldberg. And the guy said, I'm doing a show with Whoopi Goldberg, as if you are. And I said, excuse me? I am. That's why I'm going there. And he's doing a show with Whoopi Goldberg. I couldn't believe my ears.
Olivia Lee eating 120-pound apples at Soho House.
I mean, it is hideously expensive. If I'm just going there once and taking an apple, it's the most expensive apple you'll ever eat.
Or David Baddiel talking about his dad's dementia.
The other thing he could remember are his regular insults. So still, when you leave my dad, if you say, I'm off, he will say, you've been off for years. And it's really comforting that he can still abuse you in this way.
Forget the Taj Mahal and the Lighthouse of Alexandria. The wonders of the world we talk about are much more unique. Listen to My Seven Wonders now on your favourite podcast app.
My Seven Wonders with Clive Anderson is a Stakhanov production.
Suez Canal, why are you so underwhelming? It's the Luke and Pete Show part two on a Monday. It's a nice day. It's a nice day outside and it's only going to get sunnier. It's apparently, where I am, Luke, 20 degrees tomorrow, right? Yeah. And then on Friday, it's going to be 2 degrees. What's that about?
I heard that it's going to be very, very nice tomorrow, so people should enjoy that if they can. But I'm sat in the spare room with the blind down because I'm doing this show, so I can't enjoy today's weather festivities. That's troubled me, that news about Friday, because if that's true, I'm going to have to change one of the biggest plans I've got for this week, which is to take the citrus plants back outside.
Oh, yeah, no, watch out for the ground frost, mate. You're going to be in trouble.
I was told that after the clocks go forward, it's very unlikely we're going to get any kind of really, really cold weather. So that's disappointing to hear. But I'll research that later.
We're allowed to play football now. I'm going to go to Leighton Buzzard, and I'm going to go on my scooter. And it's going to be the longest journey. I'll update you next week, but it's the longest journey I'll have done on a scooter. On Wednesday night, it's going to be wild.
This is giving me big Dumb and Dumber vibes, this. How far are you going to be? Are you on the motorway?
I'm not allowed on the motorway. I've already got learner plates, isn't it?
I didn't ask if you were allowed. I asked if what you were going to do.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, true.
How far is the journey to go on a moped?
It's going to be about half an hour.
Nice.
But
that'd
I mean,
good.
I could probably shave 5 minutes off that.
Yeah. go through a few people's back gardens, be fine. Right, we've got to do lookalikes here. So there was not my idea, but it was put out there on Instagram that there's some lookalikes for me and
very
you.
Popular.
Now people know that Pete, you look like absolutely everyone. So we'll save you for last. I'll just get a couple of mine out of the way first. Brendan on Instagram said, before I knew what Luke looked like, the image in my mind was super hands. I've never seen... That's the guy from Peep Show. I know that, but I've never really seen Peep Show. I've only really seen the memes. So what do you give me a little bit of a describer.
We had an epoch, a relationship-defining argument about that. You said that the what's that programme you like about the children?
Fucking hell, careful.
The children that are... careful, steady.
My Little Pony,
the
what
children.
Of it?
Mini Pops. You like Mini Pops?
We
find it alluring.
So, okay, let me clarify. I have seen a couple of episodes of the first series of Peep Show a long time ago. I didn't like it that much.
Right.
And we had a big row. And I think it was you, Jim, Marcus, and a couple of others against me, because I was saying that the In-Betweeners is better than Peep Show, basically.
I think Spelzy was on your side, personally.
Was he?
That's how I thought. That's how I thought.
Okay.
Because he's got some funny ideas about stuff.
Anyway, but the In-Betweeners is... I just think it's not fashionable to like the In-Betweeners, so people won't say it. But I think it's really sharply written, and it's got a lot more depth to it than people realise. But that's probably a discussion for another cut another episode. But do I remind you of Super Hands, Pete? And if you can give me a big bit of a breakdown of what Super Hands is like, that'd be helpful.
Super Hands is like a dangerous, drug-addled kind of spaceman who's just always up to this and that.
Good.
He leads, is it Jez? He leads Jez astray with harebrained schemes and just drug abuse, really. So, right. Yeah, he's quite an interesting character. He's definitely the best character in Peep Show, though. So, I mean, take that.
The big barrier for me is that I don't particularly like the work of, or the oeuvre, or the, let's be honest, the personalities of David Mitchell or Robert Webb. So it's a difficult barrier for me to get over.
Yeah, but it's not. They're not playing those characters. I mean, obviously, the people you know are not the characters that are within Peep Show. But it doesn't matter.
Are you explaining to me what an acting performance is?
Yes.
Are you
seems like I have to.
Sometimes
you've had
people
a heavy weekend,
to
clearly.
Be other people.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, another one of mine apparently is Andrew Beef Johnston. I know who that is. He's a golfer. He's a fat bloke with a beard and bad teeth. Fine.
Okay.
And my sister's helpfully got in touch, and I look like the honey monster from Sugar Puffs. Great.
That's not a look like. That's more a vibe, I would say.
Yeah, it's an energy, isn't it? It's an energy, that.
Yeah, you got Sugar Puff energy.
Yeah. So, Pete, you've been likened to... And I thought I'd seen all the Pete Donaldson lookalikes, because we spent a lot of our time in the various WhatsApp groups we're both members of talking about people you look like. I've never heard this one from our mate Dinosaurs in the Pub, who's always getting in touch. He says that he always thought that you look a bit like Dominic Cummings.
Yeah, I could see
the
that.
The cum dog.
I mean, and the relish in the cum dog. The relish.
The cum
in
dog
which you
have
sort
access
of said
to.
That as if you, as if you'd the little resin cum dog.
Yeah.
I can kind of see that, because when I shave, I do look quite featureless, I would say.
And you're quite shifty as well. Dominic Cummings has always got a furtive look on his face, like he's always shifting around somewhere.
Always up to, with my machinations and my Machiavellian moves in the background of Stakhanov Industries. But no, I think I would certainly say that I kind of get that a little bit. But I'm also enjoying the fact that Luke is so pleased with that observation by Dinosaurs in a Pub that I will be hearing about it constantly, because he thinks he's got one on me. Last week's Luke thought he had one on me was that he genuinely thought that I thought I resembled Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, you did. That was really funny.
He thought it was funny. He thought it was funny, and I didn't really understand. But sometimes I get kind of pulled along with it, like a rolling wave in the Suez Canal.
Let me clarify.
He says something.
Because...
He says something, and then he's really pleased with it. And then I go, okay, yeah, fine. And he goes, yeah, you hate that, don't you? I'm going, well, I'm quite ambivalent to it, to be honest. I don't really care.
You listen, right? Part of that is true, and I'm going to give people the proper version now, because you do really care. You certainly care enough about it to mention it. Anyway, something that happened about 5 years ago where, and I've told this story before, but I need to tell it again. There's pretext to this. Anyway, we were in a room making a show, some studio we had to hire out for some reason. And there was an engineer in there who was like a really handsome Swedish man. And he dressed pretty cool and he had blonde curly hair and stuff. And you said to me while we were waiting to get started, see that guy over there? And I said, yeah. And he said, that's what you think you look like, right? Which is a really, really good, accurate, cutting put down. I respect it a great deal. The point is, you shared a picture of Ryan Gosling in a vest on a motorbike with the hair and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I said, that's what you think you look like on your scooter. Because I think even in the back of your mind, you've got a little bit about you thinking, oh, yeah, I'm a Marlon Brando type character here now. Look how cool I am. And I just think there's a little bit of truth to that. That's all.
I think that you can't have it both ways. You can't say that I've got low self-esteem and then thinking that I look like Ryan Gosling.
That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is that anytime you get some kind of semblance of an idea, of a suspicion that you might resemble Ryan Gosling in any way, to improve said self-esteem, I hammer you straight away to stop it.
Fair dues, yeah. Oh, no, yeah, look... The nail that sticks out the wall gets hammered down, etc., etc.
But I do think I do think you have a bit of an affinity of Ryan Gosling. I think you aspire to him a little bit. You talk about him a lot.
Because I think he's wonderful. I think he's genuinely What, I think he's a brilliant actor who does nothing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's what I said to you. I said it before and I'll say it again.
There's very few actors who have that kind of magnetism, and Ryan Gosling is very much one of them.
At some point, if he wants to go to the next level as an actor, he is going to have to speak at some point, I think.
He's going to have to do some
acting. Unless we're going back to silent films. cool, let's do a quick email because we've probably got time to squeeze one in. Now, before I do, though, I want to shout out to Kenny... Listener Kenny, who sent in a street called Bellenden Gardens in Edinburgh, which, okay, that's funny. It's got the word Bellend in it, fine. Mm. But as he correctly points out, if you look at it on Google Maps, the road itself does actually look like a penis.
It's got like a crescent at the top, like the head of the...
They've done that on purpose, Pete. They must have done it on purpose.
Are there any glands involved? Are there any glands?
Not I could see, but it does look like a bell end and a penis. Mm. So I think that's fairly obvious that someone's done that on purpose. So thank you very much to you, Kenny. I think the email I'll read out is a public service for you, Pete Donaldson, from our friend Ian. He's a listener, but he's our friend if he is a listener. So our friend Ian says, hello, just catching up on last week's shows and heard Pete lamenting the demise of Top Man. Place that you like to frequent, Peter. Ian says, just to let you know that all is not lost, though, because ASOS bought Top Man, Top Shop and Miss Selfridge for the princely sum of £265 million, and Top Man is now a section on the ASOS app and website. If you want to, Pete, you can get your fix of shopping for Top Man in a physical store as well, but you'd have to go to the US as the concessions in Nordstrom are staying open with the Top Man brand. So he finishes on quite a chilling note by saying, as we get closer to the April 12th reopening in the UK, it's a bit weird to think that Top Man, Top Shop, Burton, Dorothy Perkins, Miss Selfridge and Debenhams will no longer be a part of the high street. That is quite weird, really,
but
isn't
I mean
it?
That is weird, but everyone sort of criticised me when I was upset about Maplin, so I'm not going to cry for those brands, god damn it. Everyone was like, ha, Pete's annoyed because he can't get a 5-amp fuse on the high street. Well, look what's happened, dickheads.
Yeah.
Now he can't have a Miss Selfridge.
Don't pour one out on a Maplin cable because it'll probably fucking break. What Maplin wasn't corona related, though, was it? Maplin went out of business before the pandemic, didn't it?
No, just mismanagement.
Yes, gross mismanagement.
I bet the people at Maplin's are going, well, we could have waited about a year and blamed this on corona.
Got some of that sweet furlough money. What were the major issues with Maplin to your memory?
Didn't know what it was, really. I mean, it would sell little electrical components, which were very useful, but then they just skewed they steered into the curve too much. They steered into a skid, and that skid was very much lithium batteries.
Right.
Everything was a battery pack, and they just forgot about their core audience, which is mobile disc jockeys who are DJing roller discos. And that was very much the disco lights, the microphones, the XLR cables. Yeah. That was their core audience, and they steered away from it. They got excited about cheap Chinese lithium batteries, and they let the country down.
They flew too close to the battery. I think there was there's a Donaldson's Law, which is that if you're attending a Stack live podcast event in the 4 hours between curtain up, there's a 4 hours between muster time and curtain up in that key afternoon window. Donaldson's Law states that if you cannot see Donaldson, there is at least a 50% chance he's gone to a local Maplin to buy some kind of bit of tech.
Some kind of bit of nonsense to make the show work. Look, they made the dream work. The problem is with Maplin is they didn't sell a lot of like Apple-branded VGA cables, which was something we just constantly needed.
Given their reputation, given their situation, that no one in the playgrounds of Britain used to call them Craplin.
Craplin, that's true, yeah, actually, yeah.
It's a testament to them,
or
in a way.
Tandy could have been called Randy. I mean, we used to have two. We used to have Tandy. I think Radio Shack take over Tandy? And we briefly had Radio Shack in this country. I want to say that was the case. And
Rumbelows?
And we had Maplins as well, just a lot of... Well, Rumbelows was white goods, wasn't it? It was washing machines and
Rumbelows is where you could hire stuff,
in.
Right? Where you'd pay for it to rent it because you couldn't afford to buy it, right?
No, it was Radio Rentals. They had shops for a bit, didn't they?
Yeah.
Radio
I'll tell you what.
Rumblers.
It was an absolute treasure trove, wasn't it, back in the day?
It was. The high street was just the electronics boutique. That was a precursor of game.
That's the thing. If human beings are honest with themselves, right, they can be told over and over again that Amazon are doing this, that, and the other, and it should be criticised more and all the rest of it, right? But it doesn't hit people in the feels the same way. You start nostalgically talking about radio rentals or Rumblos, and people go, God, that was really good. Like, going to a shop, that was really good. That's the thing that gets you going. I can remember, for example, you're talking about your HMVs, your Our Price, your Tower Records, your Virgin Records, all these different types of music store. I can vividly remember getting in my little Ford Fiesta in the late 90s and driving around these different places trying to find one specific CD because I wanted it.
Yeah.
These days, that's gone. That's gone now.
Where are you going to buy it? You're going to go in, you're going to be like, oh, what's that over there? Is it a Spin Doctor CD or is it the Saw Doctors? Either way, I don't want either of them. That reminds me of like looking at the old Radiohead reissues and Japanese imports in WH Smiths that were like 50 quid each. Just kind of rolling around just trying to find a particular CD in Hartlepool in the 90s that you were never going to get. Oh,
I, for one, can't see why anyone got annoyed with Metallica charging £18.99 for their CDs. That was mental.
They are very talented, but they are very toilet, aren't they, that band? That whole outfit.
I actually respect them more for their absolutely voracious appetite for money. Right, speaking
they're
of
still
which,
not...
let's get out. We've got to go, because every minute more we do is less value for us.
True, exactly. We got things to do. We'll be back on the Thursday for more of this, if that's all right with you. At LukeandPeteShow.com on Twitter. You can get in touch with the show. We live for your emails. What? Hello
at LukeandPeteShow.com. At LukeandPeteShow.com on Twitter.
Did I? Oh,
the
Christ
thing that annoys me about this is you're the tech guy, apparently.
At Luke and Pete Shaw on Twitter. Hello at LukeandPeteShow.com on the emails.
Yes.
And you can also find us on Instagram as well if you want to look at some of our lookalikes. So, fantastic work. Get in touch. See you Thursday. Bye-bye.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, and join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.